Welcome to Crime and Wine. I'm Pamela Fagan Hutchins, your host, and this is the show where I talk with other crime fiction writers about the stories of thrills and suspense that will leave you mystified, sometimes horrified, and always wanting more. Please join me in welcoming today's special guest. Oh, you guys, we are going to have some fun today. This is Pamela Fagan Hutchins, and you're on Crime and Wine. And today we're going to be talking about the kinds of books that make it hard for you to sleep, that are twisty and suspenseful. So I'll bring on our special guest in just a second. This is the season of Pamela's new releases. After 2 years with none, this year I have six. And so we're up to four this year already. So be checking out Detective Delaney Pace in Her Silent Bones, Her Hidden Grave, and Her Last Cry. And we're launching, as we speak, Skin and Bones, the number 8, Patrick Flint. But enough about that. Let's get to my guest, whom I'm already just a teeny bit girl crushing on. This is Carrie Baldwin, and she is here to talk about The Widow Bride. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. And wow, congratulations on your new books that are coming out. Pow, pow, pow. It's amazing.
Pow, pow, pow is what it feels like. We can talk later about how pow, pow, pow feels like pow, pow, pow. But I am so excited to talk about your new book, to talk about you. You guys, Carrie is a USA Today bestselling author. She is a devoted lover of the outdoors. And the line I loved from your bio, a chaser of wildflowers. You wanna tell us what that means?
Well, yes. And I don't know who may or may not be watching, but I actually had someone tell me, you've got to take that line out of your bio because that does not sound like a thriller author. And I was like, well, yeah, but it sounds like me, right?
Right. So, and we aren't our books, right? I mean, they may bear some resemblance, but we're really actually, you know, different humans than our scary, murdery characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so when I first started chasing wildflowers was when I was a single mom at the time. I've remarried since then, but when I was a single mom and I had teenage kids at home, and both of them, but especially my son, was really into photography. And we live in the Phoenix area where we have some beautiful wildflowers over in Apache Junction and near Lost Dutchman State Park. And you'll see, in fact, you'll see some of those locations in my book. Can I hold up my book?
Please hold up your book. For those of you that are podcast listening, you just missed it out because this is a gorgeous cover, complete with blood and wedding rings. And so you can't miss it. It's a beautiful bright yellow.
So that's what I should probably name my next series, is Blood and Wedding Rings. You know, that's to be what I'm always writing about. But so anyway, my son, my daughter, and I, they were really into photography. And so I kind of got into photography too. And we started just chasing those wildflowers. Wherever, when we would have a good season, or we would get in the car and drive to Anza Borrega State Park, or we would go to Lost Dutchman, or we would just chase them wherever they were, because it's very, you know, it's sort of like a flash sale. You got to get there, you know.
Yes.
So we really chase them a lot. And I still do that to this day. And I took my husband, the first time I took him to California, to the poppy fields, he was just amazed. And so that's kind of part of my life, but it may not be thrillery, but that's, you know, a little bit of who I am.
We used to have a house in Texas, a house in Wyoming, and I would stay through wildflower season in Texas, and then we'd race to Wyoming to get there in time for the lower elevation flowers. And then we'd have another month of the higher elevation flowers. Mm-hmm. It was the highlight of my year. I got 3 months of flowers that way, but it was chasing wildflowers. So I got to tell you.
So you know what I mean by that.
And I wrote a scene in a book that's not going to come out for 6 more months. So God, I hope people forget this. But I made all of the bloody showdown occurring in a hailstorm in a field of plastic wildflowers. And so I'm just sitting here thinking, chasing wildflowers can be super murdery.
I love that. They're plastic wildflowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is creepy.
I really like that. So, okay. So speaking of creepy, tell me about The Widow Bride. Tell all of us about The Widow Bride, because we are starting to have some people that are saying hi. Suzanne Baldry says, so excited to hear about Carrie. Yeah. And Deb Kesner says, hello. So people are standing by. Let's hear about The Widow Bride.
Okay. Well, so it is sort of blood and wedding rings. Not that long ago, I was writing serial killer FBI profiler type books. I have another series with a different publisher called the Cassidy and Spencer series. And so sometimes, even though I am now writing these blood and wedding ring psych thrillers, my head does kind of travel in that murderous, you know, serial killer type direction. But I actually had the idea, I don't know if you're familiar with Cyrano de Bergerac, the classic play. So this is kind of like a behind the scenes kind of thing. I originally wanted this to be a kind of a twisty, dark Cyrano de Bergerac, where I felt, in the play, the unattractive but brilliant and poetic Cyrano helps an extremely good-looking but bumbling and not that articulate fellow woo another woman. And he's depicted in this play and in any spinoffs of this story or modern-day versions of it as a hero who's sacrificing himself and his own feelings for the sake of the woman he loves so that she can be happy and be with someone, find true love, because he doesn't believe he's good enough for her. But I've always felt that it's kind of creepy for one person to be coaching another person on how to win a woman, especially two men. So I was kind of thinking, well, what if that other person that you're helping to win someone's heart, someone that you really care deeply about, what if that person turns out not to be a good guy? And so that was the kernel of the idea for The Widow Bride. And I twisted it a little. And so the premise of The Widow Bride is that there's a woman named Roslyn who's grieving for her brother, whom she loves deeply. And his widow is deeply grieving. And she's made a promise to her brother that she's going to watch out for Melanie. And so she fixes Melanie up with someone that she thinks is a good guy. And she facilitates her getting together with her husband's best friend, Blake. And then very quickly, she begins to think, gosh, maybe I don't know Blake as well as I thought I did. And maybe he's, you know, not really a good guy. And what have I done? But by then, Melanie and Blake are married and Melanie is deeply devoted to him. And so that's kind of the conundrum. And then also the question is Blake a bad guy? Is he a good guy? You know, what's happening in this story? And there's a lot of other, nobody is as straightforward as they seem. So
nothing I got that from the reviews. Okay. So you guys, the reviews are, wow, wow, wow. I am left speechless. Incredible. Wow. Just wow. Then we have, wow. After reading this, I feel like I've been a washing machine at full spin. The word that keeps coming is wow, which to me is the shock and awe that you have surprised people and done your job as a writer of what is it? Murder and Wedding Rings, Blood. Blood and Wedding Rings. Right. And in fact, you know, as I was reading your description, that the last line, Blake may think he knows me, but he has no idea who he's really dealing with. And you're like, uh-oh, nobody is who they seem in this book.
All I can say is trust no one.
And so was it fun to write? Do you like writing books like this?
This was really fun. And first of all, I want to just back up for a second to the wow reviews though. and just say to all the readers who have made these wonderful comments, you know, you have no idea how much that warms my heart when somebody says, wow, it's really validating and wonderful. And I really, really am grateful to everybody that, even if you didn't leave a review, if you read it and you enjoyed it and you gave me that time from your life, I love that. So I'm very appreciative of that.
You said that so well. You know, when you think about what people invest in books is not money. It's that time in their life. They could have done a bazillion other things and they chose to read The Widow Bride. They chose to read another Carrie Baldwin book. You know, it really is super cool. And I know they appreciate hearing that. Janilyn wants to tell you that she loved the book. Lots of twists and turns. So there's another person. There's someone that's already read it.
Thank you so much, Janilyn. I appreciate that so much.
So the idea that you've moved from more of the procedural space into more of the psychological suspense space, is that where you see yourself digging in and staying for a while? Is it so much fun that you want to stay here?
Yeah, definitely. And I will say that it has been not that convoluted of a path, but it did take me a while to figure out what I was even writing. And the first book that I submitted with my first publisher, my agent submitted it as a romantic suspense novel. And the editor who eventually bought it called me before she bought it and said, or acquired it, I guess is the correct word, and said, so you know this isn't a romance, right? And I said, no, I think it's a romance. She said, no, it's actually a thriller. And she goes, is it okay if we put it in our digital thriller line? And I'm like, well, yeah. And then that sort of jived with me, but there was a lot of romance in it. And then I started getting a lot of comments about my books. Like, what is this? Is this, I had some medical, I'm also a physician. I recently retired. So I had a lot of medical aspects in there. And people would say, well, is this a medical thriller? Is this a romance novel? Is this a police procedural? Like, what is going on? And it was, you know, and I would say, oh, it's all about the story. You know, I just kind of blow it off that way. But I eventually began to realize that the core of what I like writing is the psychology. And there is action, I think, in my books, but I am much more interested in psychological action than I like physical action too, but I like the psychological action the best. So
it's interesting that that's where you landed after trying so many things on as a writer, that's where you landed. And you know, shamelessly stalking you earlier, reading bio, et cetera. You know, you have that background that your degrees are not just in medicine, but also in psychology. Am I right?
Yes. I used to be a clinical psychologist.
Okay. So this makes a lot of sense. I bet you have had some inspiring situations in your career.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think of a nice way to put that.
Yeah, and this particular book, I was going to say it wasn't inspired by anything in my career, but there are pieces of it that were. There is a missing woman in this book, Zoe, and there's a detective. You can see everything coming in. There's this detective and a missing woman. So kind of a holdover from other things that I like to write. And so Detective Julian Van is coming and he's updating the grandfather of the missing woman. And that really is a holdover from, as a pediatrician, which is the type of medicine that I practiced, I cannot tell you, Pamela, how many families I had where the grandparents were raising the children. And just sometimes just struggling with their own financial situations or their own emotional situations. And then, you know, raising one to several children because the parents were unable to for various reasons.
Yeah.
And it always really struck me how unsung they are. You know, there really are some unsung heroes. And I think grandparents, especially grandparents who raise their grandchildren, are among them. Right. So I do have, you know, that situation in this book where the missing woman was raised by her grandparents because her mother wasn't able to do that. But that's not the focus of the book, but that is like something from real life that crept in. There's usually something that will creep into a story from my real life.
But other than that, it's just the fertile imagination of a woman that that comes up with fantastic scenarios, or do you find that, like, this one inspired by Cyrano de Bergerac more, or more just flat out, you wake up one day thinking about something and it's like, I have to write this?
Well, there are different sources. Well, I have one book, Confession, that was actually inspired by when I was a clinical psychologist and someone told me something very, very grisly. They did not confess to being a serial killer, but let's just say it was pretty grisly. And so what I sometimes do is I take my worst experiences or my worst fears, and I put them in a book. I exaggerate them greatly, make them far worse, and then I have the protagonist overcome them.
Right.
And kind of a way of dealing, I think, with some of the things that frighten me and or some of the experiences that I've never talked about with people because maybe I couldn't. So,
yeah.
You know, you fictionalize a lot of things. So, yeah, I think so.
I like that. I've always said that the first few books that I wrote were a way of journaling it out, you know, like that they were a way of attacking things that I had trouble dealing with or that I was scared of. And I think that when you do that, you're able to give some authenticity, you know, bring your own fears and demons into a situation as well as those of the characters. I don't know. I think that it's a cool way to approach it.
And a lot of people have said to me, like, I'm really surprised you're writing these books. Like, these books are so dark. They're like, where is this coming from? Because you don't seem like you're like that. I'm like, yeah, I'm not, you know, but I'm dealing with, you know, these are fears. It's all hyperbole. So, yeah.
I love it. Well, we are going to segue now into a part of the interview that we call the speed round on Crime and Wine, where I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that are similar to the questions I ask everybody. And we learn a little bit about how we're alike and how we're different with these. So I'm going to start with, if you are somebody that likes to work in the same space and in the same type of outfit every day, or if you're more of a move where the artist and the muse takes you spirit when you're writing.
I am in one place and I'm either in my pajamas, which is my preference, honestly, or I am in scrubs. And scrubs are really the better outfit because they're like pajamas, but you can answer the door.
So that's a good way of putting it. I think Freda McFadden told me that she writes in scrubs a lot of the times as well. Yeah. So, which, by the way, I should tell you guys that for the most recent books we've written, that Carrie and I both write for Bookature, and so did Freda for the books we were talking about. So we have a little club of writers that write murdery things and get to know each other. Okay, so you're going out for the evening. Do you or one of the characters in The Widow Bride have a favorite drink to order? Is there something that would be your happy hour pick?
Okay, well, I am just going to be honest and say that I do not have a favorite drink, but I have a lot of friends that have favorite drinks. So if I'm going out with Deb, for example, I will have a lemon drop because Deb likes lemon drops.
Yeah.
If I'm out with someone else, I'll have a cosmopolitan. I think maybe Cosmos, you know, are probably what I enjoy the most, but I am a little bit of a follower because I, you know, I'll drink whatever everybody's drinking in the group. You know, I'll have what she's having kind of a girl.
It's hard when you're trying to pick and everything sounds good. It's like, thank goodness you narrowed it down for me, right? I do that a lot too. Janilyn added that she's addicted to the psychological thrillers, the grislier the better, and that Book of Chore has been the best because that's how she came to read both you and me. So that's pretty cool. I know her better as books read by Prairie Girl, I think, out there in the
world.
And you know who I'm talking about now, right? Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Book of Chore is a wonderful publisher of twisty, dark books. So if you like twist, that's your publisher.
That's right. It's always funny to me, the people that write for Book of Chore that write things like World War II fiction or cozy or things, and like, because my experience with them is in all in the space of blood and wedding rings, right? You know, it's right over there. And Janilyn says, yes, that's me. Books read by Prairie Girl. I may have gotten that teeny bit wrong, but I think that's what her handle is when she's blogging. Okay, so it's time for dinner. Are you a pizza or sushi kind of person?
I'm pizza. I'd like to be classier and say that I'm sushi, but I'm pizza.
I'm not into that raw stuff. My kids all eat it, but I'm just, no.
It's the seaweed that's not right.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Hold it together without the seaweed, I would probably go for it.
There's a smell to seaweed. I'm just going to put that out there that it has a texture. Okay, so you've already had some super interesting careers. I would say you're quite accomplished in the career category. But if you had one more shot at it, you weren't a writer, you weren't a doctor, and you were something else for one day, what would it be?
Well, can I magically acquire some extra athleticism?
Please do.
If so, then I think I would like to be a White River rafting guide.
Oh, wow. That would be fun. Okay.
Great.
I would not be your client because I'm terrified of cold, fast water, but I would cheer from the sidelines. Yay. Yeah. I think that's awesome. Okay. And now you win the lottery. Money is no object for anything you want to do in the world now. What is the first couple of things that you might spend it on?
Well, 100%, it would be a second home in Alaska, because I have a grandchild here in the Phoenix area, and then I have a little tiny 2-month-old in Alaska. And so it's very difficult for us because it's, you know, when they're living that far apart, you can't be in both places at the same time. But if I had a gazillion dollars, then, or even just enough to have 2 homes, one in Alaska and one in Phoenix, then I would definitely do that. But if I won the lottery, then I'd also have a house in San Diego and Colorado too, right?
You'd be a realtor's best friend. We've got, my husband and I are a blended family. I have 2, he has 3, and then we have an orphaned niece and nephew who become part of our brood of 7. They all live in different places except for 2 of them. And so we are just like, there's no way you can pick one, right? I mean, you have to just travel. We bought a travel trailer so that we can just go. Like take off. It's like 2 months later, we'll be done, you know, visiting all the kids.
We haven't done that. We've talked about that though, getting, you know, an RV. And then of course we have a dog that has to come with. So it's hard to travel with the dog if you're going from hotel to hotel, but thank goodness for Airbnbs. And
exactly. We, last year we had to travel from Maine to Bakersfield, California in one straight drive to change jobs for my husband. And we had 4 dogs with us and we took off and we're like, no one's going to take us. We're going to be like, asking if there's any room at the inn, you know, like as in the stable on the way. And literally we would like scan ahead and be like, do you take 4 dogs? We don't care what your hotel's like, you know, here we come. You'd go in and you'd be like, ooh, ooh. might as well have slept outside. But I totally get you. And being your grandkids with our two new grandbabies, it's hard when you're that far away. So I think some pretty good choices on how to spend your money there. Now, if people need to know where to go best, where best to go to engage with you and best to go to find your books, where would you send them?
Well, Amazon for to find the books, and to find me, I think Facebook. I mean, I do have an Instagram account, and that's like on my to-do list is to get better at Instagram, spend more time on Instagram. But I am on Facebook more than anywhere else. And I do have an X account, but I am rarely on that. So I'd say Facebook.
Yeah. Amazon. It sounds a lot like me as far as the trying to figure out how to navigate all this different social media. So you guys, I want to leave you before I let Carrie go with reading just a couple of the reviews off of her website. So if you hadn't already decided that you were going to read The Widow Bride, I want you to hear a couple of things that are said about her. A shooting star, Carrie Baldwin aims high and doesn't disappoint. If you like Lisa Jackson and Karen Rose, Carrie is right up your dark, twisty alley. This is from Wendy Corsi Staub, New York Times bestselling author. And just one more, Carrie Baldwin's books are brilliant, beautiful, and very, very scary. Courtney Milan, New York Times bestselling author. So, I mean, that's just about the highest praise you can get for the people that read my books and listen to the show and watch this show. This is the kind of books they're looking for. But before you go, a mutual friend has checked in. Lisa Reagan says, hi, ladies.
Hi, Lisa.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It's really been a pleasure. And you guys, I highly recommend you go out and pick up a copy of The Widow Bride. Come back and see me for the next book.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. And thanks to everybody that tuned in. That I really appreciate that.
It's an awesome group. So we'll see you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you guys know that we've come to that part of the show where we have to do a couple of housekeeping things. The first of which is, this is a solely owned and copyrighted production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, a digital media corporation with over 4 million viewers and listeners in 153 plus countries. Say that three times fast. You can find my books in any format you can imagine. You can also ask your library or bookstore to order them. You can find them and even buy them. And even better, see my upcoming shows, plan and prep for them. Think of stumper questions you can ask the authors via comment at my website, PamelaFaganHutchins.com. So that is where you'll go to see who I'm talking to next week. I really appreciate all of you for coming on today, and I hope that I will see you next week. Until then, go read a good book, why don't you? I recommend The Widow Bride.
Thanks for joining us today on Crime and Wine, chats with crime fiction authors and Pamela Fagan Hutchins. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll check back in with us next time for more thrills, suspense, and stories that will mystify, sometimes horrify, and always leave you wanting more.